NAFI's new director says sport pilots are real pilots. A well-known glass panel trainer says keeping up with new tech is a rush. And one notable woman in aviation arrived at Oshkosh on a Navy Seahawk. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, August 4th, 2008. EAA AirVenture has come and gone for another year, but we're certainly not finished telling you about it. The 2008 event closed down yesterday afternoon, leaving hundreds of thousands of us a little tired, a little sunburned, but full of new ideas and experiences to process. The Aero News special feature will have more from Oshkosh all this week, and you'll be seeing some of the finest aviation video work I've ever seen at aero-tv.net in the next few weeks. AirVenture 2008 was the first chance many of us got to meet Jason Blair, the new executive director of the National Association of Flight Instructors. I had to ask him about the spotty availability of flight schools offering instruction for the sport pilot certificate and whether it's on NAFI's radar screen.
I guess from a NAFI perspective in general, our strategy is to raise awareness of it and to understand that this is not a secondary type of pilot certificate. It's not a lower level. It's a pilot certificate that allows you to fly an aircraft. You know, it's a new industry. It is developing. We're seeing more aircraft available in more places. And the best thing I can tell people from a customer standpoint is tell your local FBO or flight school, this is what we want. As NAFI, our goal is to help promote sport pilot instruction as well as any other instruction that has gone through and to help people understand that it's a viable option.
AirVenture is a great place for us to get some one-on-one time with the leading names in aviation. Max Trescott is a certified flight instructor in California, the FAA's 2008 CFI of the Year, and well-known for his book and training materials dealing with the Garmin G1000 glass panel. I had the chance to talk to Max at AirVenture about the daunting task of keeping up with the explosion in new technology, specifically all the new options for the G1000 announced recently.
I got to tell you, there is nothing more fun than sinking your teeth into one of these new systems. So the Cirrus SR22 perspective glass cockpit was announced around the 20th of May, thereabouts. Within a week or two, we decided, hey, we need to have some type of product out in this area. And I was very fortunate to be able to spend time with one of the demo pilots who has one of those aircraft. And then better yet, the flying club that I do most of my work with, the West Valley Flying Club in Palo Alto, has one of these aircraft online, and they asked me to help put together the program to check out the chief flight instructor and the other CFIs. You know, you work 24/7, but it's a work of love. You're having a good time, and we're not just throwing technology at something for the sake of throwing technology at it. It's really helpful and useful, and people should try it out because they're going to love it.
A gathering called Women Venture attempted to assemble the largest single gathering of women pilots ever in one place at AirVenture and claims to have succeeded. As of 1 p.m. Friday, over 800 women pilots had signed the event logbook, and many of them were gathered for a group picture in their pink T-shirts. A related event titled Women Soar, You Soar brought together teenage girls with adult women pilots who have agreed to serve as mentors. One woman who is a terrific example and will have many opportunities to encourage young girls to get into aviation is 26-year-old Navy Lieutenant Katie Schultz, a Wisconsin native and one of the pilots who flew two SH-60B Seahawk helicopters to AirVenture from San Diego, California. Katie credits early trips to AirVenture for planting the seed.
When I was little, I used to come to the Oshkosh Air Show with my father, and I would go up on all the ladders and go check out the cockpits of all the jets and just see all the planes around me. My uncle is a helicopter pilot, an instructor pilot down in Kenosha, so I was always interested in flying. I wasn't necessarily interested in the military until it came up at lunch one day with a family friend, and he said, well, I know that you are really interested in flying, and I think you should think about the Naval Academy. And I ended up applying for it. I got a nomination very probably late into the year of my senior year of high school. And then about 29 days before induction day, I got an appointment to the Naval Academy.
There were lots of dads with daughters in attendance this year at Oshkosh. Try it. You never know if she'd like to come with you till you ask. Jason Blair, Max Trescott, and Lieutenant Katie Schultz will all join me for full-length interviews later this week on the Aero News special feature. Up next on ANN, Mooney may field a turboprop. Patty Wagstaff has a run-in with the law at AirVenture. And electric aircraft draw a crowd at Oshkosh. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for Monday, August 4th, 2008. I'm Paul Platt. Mooney Airplane Company announced on Friday at AirVenture that the company has entered into a joint engineering project with Rolls-Royce to explore the use of the newly announced RR500 turbine, quote, to complement the current Mooney product line, unquote. Mooney President Dennis Ferguson says the collaboration is about bringing a four-place aircraft to markets where avgas is scarce. Quote, the rugged Mooney airframe is uniquely suited to accept the power of the Rolls-Royce engine, and we're very excited about working with Rolls-Royce to examine the possibility of bringing a Jet A-powered Mooney turboprop to the market in the future, unquote. More details are promised in coming months. An unfortunate backdrop to AirVenture's emphasis on mentoring young girls in aviation this year involved veteran airshow performer Patty Wagstaff. Her Friday performance was scrubbed. Saturday, she told ANN her side of the story. As she tells it, she was returning from the Gathering of Eagles dinner Thursday evening en route to the nearby Hilton using interior airport access. It was late, and Wagstaff says she and three companions lost their way crossing Whitman Field, drawing the attention of airshow security. Security busted her for being in an unauthorized area on airport grounds, resulting in a three-hour process involving the Winnebago County Sheriff. Wagstaff says she's, quote, horribly upset at the misunderstanding that occurred, unquote, but also unhappy with the escalation from local airshow security to the sheriff. Addressing early reports, she added that she was, quote, absolutely not impaired, unquote. The performer says she looks forward to putting the incident behind her. Following months of breathtaking fuel price increases, AirVenture attendees packed a Thursday forum on electric aircraft led by Craig Willen, a lifetime member of EAA and committee representative leading EAA's electric aircraft initiatives. Brushless electric motor expert David Palumbo of Aviox said the state-of-the-art is now an 18-pound, 40-horsepower electric motor with one moving part. He said aircraft builders will have to, quote, rethink the aircraft structure and essentially design the airframe around the engine, unquote. Panelist Eric Lindberg expressed his appreciation for the innovators of electric power who foresaw the need for alternative sources of power. Quote, my grandfather would likely be somewhat panicked to see the lack of options we have in aviation today. I don't care if the aircraft looks different. I want my son to have the freedom it represents, unquote. Eric is one of the founders of XPRIZE and serves as a trustee. He sees the prize model well applied to the development of electric aircraft. Randy Fishman was asked about specifics on his Electroflyer C, which was on display at Aeroshell Square. The craft has an 18-horsepower engine, and the longest flight to date has been 5 hours. Following Thursday's forum, Adam Smith of EAA presented Fishman with a 2008 EAA August Respite Award for innovation. Lopresti Aviation, in an homage to founder Roy Lopresti, announced at AirVenture the winner of its first annual prize for innovation in aviation, Delta Hawk Engines. For those not familiar with the Lopresti legacy, Roy was the prolific and innovative aircraft designer who was the creative force behind the Grumman Tiger, Cheetah, Cougar, the Mooney 201, 232, 252, and 301, and NASA's Lunar Lander. In its statement, the company said of Delta Hawk, quote, this small company has worked tirelessly for 12 years to bring a great design to market. The persistence and creativity of this company is something of which Roy would have approved, unquote. Lopresti has begun working with Delta Hawk to create STCs, allowing retrofitting of the Delta Hawk into existing aircraft. The award itself is a unique sculpture designed as an art piece. It was designed by Roy before his death in 2002 and will travel among winners. Still ahead, SpaceX goes 0-3, but will press on. Lexington closes the book on Flight 5191. And crashes by unlicensed pilots are general aviation's latest embarrassment. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for August 4th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Space Exploration Technologies, a.k.a. SpaceX, is looking for a silver lining after the third unsuccessful launch of its Falcon 1 rocket in as many attempts. After aborting its first launch attempt a fraction of a second before liftoff on Saturday, a second attempt from the Kwajalein Atoll in the South Pacific started well, but when the Falcon 1's two stages failed to separate, the rocket and the three satellites aboard had to be destroyed. SpaceX founder Elon Musk vows to go forward. Quote, "It was obviously a big disappointment not to reach orbit on this flight. On the plus side, the flight of our first stage with a new Merlin 1C engine that will be used in Falcon 9 was picture perfect. Unfortunately, a problem occurred with stage separation, causing the stages to be held together. This is under investigation, and I will send out a note as soon as we understand exactly what happened," unquote. Musk encouraged his staff, quote, "There should be absolutely zero question that SpaceX will prevail in reaching orbit and demonstrating reliable space transport. For my part, I will never give up, and I mean never. Thanks for your hard work, and now on to Flight 4," unquote. A plaintiff's attorney calls it, quote, "an end of a long and horrible event for this community," unquote. He's referring to the decision by a federal judge to call off a hearing in the lawsuits stemming from the Comair Flight 5191 crash in Lexington, Kentucky. That hearing had been scheduled for this morning. The Associated Press reports the trial has been canceled, as family members have settled most cases against the airline out of court. Comair spokeswoman Kate Marks said, quote, "Since the day of the accident, Comair has committed itself to treating the passenger families fairly and respectfully. It is comforting to come so far in this process and know we've honored our initial commitment," unquote. As ANN reported, the CRJ-100 regional jet crashed after the pilots attempted takeoff on the wrong runway at Bluegrass Regional Airport on the morning of August 27, 2006. Instead of having 7,000 feet available on runway 22, the plane ran off the end of runway 26, which is only half that long. 49 people died. The sole survivor was co-pilot James Polhinki. Attorney Joe Savage, whose client settled her case against the airline for the loss of her parents, said, quote, "I'm frankly glad everything is over and we can all get on with our lives," unquote. Crashes involving unlicensed pilots are the latest issue drawing unwanted attention for general aviation from the House Homeland Security Committee. The Associated Press reports the man at the controls of a Cessna 172 had only a long-expired student pilot certificate when he crashed July 26th near Athens Municipal Airport in East Texas, causing minor injuries to himself and two passengers. Jennifer Kaiser, an investigator with the National Transportation Safety Board, said that since January she has worked three plane crashes in which the pilot was not certified. FAA spokesman Roland Herwig said pilots are caught flying without certification several times each week, making such cases very rare among the tens of thousands of flights each day. Congressman Benny Thompson, a Democrat who chairs the House Homeland Security Committee, said his panel expects to have a briefing from the Department of Homeland Security about issues involving general aviation in the next few weeks. And finally, I told you a few minutes ago about Navy Lieutenant Katie Schulz, a native of Kenosha, Wisconsin, who reached her personal aviation goals by way of the U.S. Naval Academy. Helicopter Squadron HSL-45 sent two SH-60B Seahawks from Naval Air Station North Island, California, to Oshkosh as part of a training mission, and Katie was one of the pilots. She'll be one of my guests tomorrow on the Aero News special feature. When asked to recount high points of her time so far with Wolfpack Squadron, she mentions serving on detachment in Central and South America on counter-drug operations and netting 11 metric tons of cocaine. She says that during one interception operation, she was required to hold the helicopter steady enough for a Coast Guard sharpshooter with a 50 caliber weapon to disable the engine of a drug runner's boat. With those skills, you might guess Lieutenant Schultz strikes panic into the hearts of criminals and enemies of the U.S. everywhere she goes. And you might be right, unless they're monitoring radio transmissions. See, after a few months in training, new recruits are given call signs by the other members of their units. Katie's is Bubbles. To Lieutenant Katie Bubbles Schultz and all of HSL 45, thank you for your service to our country. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, it's Conversations from Oshkosh, a potpourri of short conversations with newsmakers from AirVenture. You'll hear my brief chats with the developers of two new aircraft engines, expected to have breakthrough years this year, and Jim Campbell's interview with Steve Hanvey, CEO of SatsAir. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.